We're back.
Take two. How I spent my summer vacation.
Yeah.
It's been a little while since we recorded. If you missed us.
Yeah. Welcome back to Cocked.
It's hard being a nerd in the summertime.
It is hard. I start so many projects and then you're like, well,
we could go to a baseball game.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Go to the beach.
Yeah,
it's tough, but we're still here, rest assured, providing you premium content.
100% premium content, not a wasted second.
This is Cocked, for those of you not in the know.
New people, welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to Cocked. We are...
Oh, man, what's this?
Yeah. It's games. We're talking games.
This one is you. This is something that's like very like, I think when we started this, my tagline, I was channeling a little Jack Black, is a podcast about tabletop appreciation and theory. And like, this is very much, this came to me in a dream where I had a theory, not necessarily just of tabletop, but a theory of hobby.
Uh-huh.
About things that you do being either like creative or consumptive. Like, you are either putting something into the world or you are removing something from the world. And that, like, I started thinking about how, like, a lot of the hobbies that I enjoy partaking in and the aspects of those hobbies that I enjoy the most are like very creative versus, you know, and like people that I surround myself are also like kind of on that level. And that, like, I think I was at like a party with a dude who was like, his like fucking thing was just like whiskey and cigars.
Yes.
Okay. And so it's like, that sucks.
That's
purely
consumptive.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe define, so define your terms here.
So I think the idea is that like a hobby is.
Because when we started talking about it, I was like, oh, this is a purely consumptive hobby. And then I was like, well, it doesn't have to be. I kind of surprised myself. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Like, it was like. Just the idea of like when you have a hobby, something that you occupy your spare time with, and this is like, not to get too like Jello Biafra about it.
Okay. What the fuck are you going with this?
I think it's a thing where it's like the way that the modern world is set up right now is like, you go to work, you fucking perform labor for like some other person's gain. You perform labor for basically just to like stay alive, for the like collection of capital. And the, like when you get home from work, you're so fucking tired that like your life revolves around convenience of like fast food or like streaming or fucking whatever. And your free time is just spent like shoveling shit into your eyes and your mouth. And that there's something that's like incredibly like fulfilling and liberating about having a hobby that is like creative versus consumptive, where you are, and it's like very, it also revolves around labor. It's the idea of like you are undergoing some kind of like mental or physical labor to like, but like not for any gain other than just like what you get out of it.
Your enjoyment, but also potentially the enjoyment that other people will get.
Yeah, totally. And that's like, this is a thing, like I've been talking about this with people and someone was like, what do you think about, like, you know, like, obviously this refers to, like, miniature painting or...
Yeah, that's the easy one that you
like,
can...
Like, is, like, easy, but, like, I don't know, like, we play in bands, and I think that's a very, like, labor-intensive creative endeavor that, like, we're never going to see any fucking money from.
Yeah.
Or, like somebody, like, bodybuilds or whatever, I think, because I was talking about this, and someone was, like, you know, like, going to the gym or whatever, it's like, oh, these guys all have, like, dysmorphia, this is a fucking mental disorder, and I'm like, they're putting in hard hours and labor... that you could never do.
Yes, to materially augment the world around them.
Yeah.
You know, which just happens to be their bodies, which is materially themselves. But still, like, if you go to the gym to work out, like, your input is creating an output that wouldn't exist without that input.
Exactly. And that's like a thing.
And that isn't required of you to, like, do as part of your job.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Unless you're like a, you know.
Whatever. Like, that's, I think that's a big thing, is like labor, something like labor is necessary for this. This has to be like... something that like is hard to do and something that you like put effort into, but it can't be for...
It's the type of thing where it's kind of like, I don't think that anyone who does a creative hobby or pastime really like at the end of their life is going to be like, you know, unless they have some kind of problem, like, but it's going to look back and be like you see those like BBC documentaries where it's just like a guy's fucking insane train collection or like,
yeah,
he's
going through his whole
house. Like, I don't think when he dies, he's going to be like, I wish I didn't do that and had done other things. You know, it's a fulfilling thing. But I think every one of us might be like, I wish I didn't watch so much fucking Netflix garbage.
Yeah. I wish I didn't put fucking like 100 hours of my summer into Diablo.
Yeah. And like, yes, like, exactly. I feel that way right now.
Dude, like, right? Yeah. Like, I'm just like, man, it's going to get cold soon. And I've put in a lot of Diablo time already.
And like, I feel like I had fun. I enjoyed hours. I got my money's worth.
Like, I think that's the other thing is that like for a lot of like, I don't mean this as a means of like shitting on hobbies that I see as purely consumptive. I think that's fine. But I think that there's like myself and like a lot of people that I connect with. Have a collective understanding that there is like something a little bit more fulfilling and a little bit more.
Well, you got to balance things out. Like, you know, neither of us are going to say that like reading a book, which is a consumptive pastime, is like a waste of time.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Or like watching a movie that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to balance these things out. And I think video games is an interesting one because like right now I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, what kind of furry are you?
I am a adult human man.
Pervert.
Yeah. But that's something that is like, it is a piece of art.
Yeah.
But it also is like a facsimile of a creative hobby.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Because obviously it uses D&D 5th edition as an engine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of go down a dialogue tree and affect it. So there's some kind of, you're reflecting your will onto it. But it's a mirage. And I'm not saying this to denigrate it because it's an achievement. But it isn't creative. If I can like make my guy look a certain way and make choices, like those choices are predetermined.
Yeah.
I'm selecting from a
They're
menu.
Within parameters that somebody else has built.
Totally. Where I think that if your friend runs a RPG night for you, everything you do in that RPG has the potential to be a creative expression of something.
Well,
even if it's like, shallow, even if it's like an inch deep, it's still like those things wouldn't have happened without you being there.
Yeah.
And you specifically.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, like RPGs at their best are collaborative storytelling. And that is a purely creative, you know, five people sitting in a room and like making something together that they can all at the end of the night be like, hey, like we did that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what like RPGs at their worst when it's like just a combat simulator, like like it's
you might as well be playing a video game because that will do that better than the RPG.
Totally. Yeah. And that's like we can kind of get into the conversation that I want to have like about this a little bit is like when a hobby that is inherently meant to be creative becomes consumptive. And I think a lot, like,
and the backside of this, because we had a conversation where we were playing Magic with our buddy, and I was under the impression that I thought that Magic, the Gathering, like a card game, is a purely consumptive hobby.
It's like it's like an 87% consumptive hobby,
and like the fact that like you can, you know, build a deck and that and. Within it, but you're choosing from a set of options.
Building a deck is like you're picking your guy's eye color in Baldur's
Gate. Yeah, exactly. Those options, you don't get to make your own cards. But then our buddy mentioned there's a really like kind of ridiculous play format called Dandan.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, have you heard of this? And I was like, oh yeah, it sounds really cool. And then he was like, oh yeah, I'm making my own version of that. And I was like, oh, and then obviously, because we're playing Commander.
Which is a fan-made. Yeah.
Like, there is a creative side to that hobby. To say nothing about people who, like, proxy paint on their cards and,
and
all that shit. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was like, because that was an angle. So I think that there's the turning a creative hobby into a consumptive hobby, and then also turning a consumptive hobby into a creative hobby.
Totally. Well, it's like the Baldur's Gate versus D&D is like the difference between somebody who likes cooking and somebody who likes going to restaurants.
Yeah.
Who are both going to call themselves foodies, but one is very different from the other. Right.
Like, and like someone who goes to a restaurant and is then inspired to try to imitate it.
Yeah.
Like if you if you're trying to imitate something, I still think you're doing something creative.
You're just in the early
stages of it. So exactly. I think if you buy a D&D module, which is a consumptive way to do a creative hobby.
Yes. Buying like a pre-written like campaign or adventure for you to play through is definitely removing a creative element.
Yeah,
from...
if you have the spark to like tweak it or not veer the player back to like the things that are known in the mm-hmm. module, then you're kind of veering towards being creative.
Yeah.
So what do you think is like a, so like if you buy a 40K army
mm-hmm.
and you get it commission painted.
Okay, so like this is very much like I was thinking about why, first of all, like the obvious version of this is like not even getting it painted at all. This is why we hate gray plastic so much.
Yes.
Like when I had this idea, it was like a fucking light bulb specifically about gray plastic mm-hmm. where I was like, this is why I hate it so much is because it's like the part of the hobby that is like for me the most like I keep going back to fulfillment. Like it's a thing of like a Maslowian actualization, you know, where you're just like, I feel good about this. Look, I did this.
Yeah.
And it's like you're spitting in the face of that and like turning it into chess or you're turning it into a board
game. You're trivializing it for yourself and you're trivializing it for everyone else at the table.
And that's like the issue of like meta chasing, right? Like all you are doing is buying rules and buying miniatures. And like if you're... And like the best possible version of this horrible thing is paying someone else to paint it for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and yes. It's a thing where it's like, man, like at least you have the respect to show up with a painted army.
Yes. I think that's the caveat. Like, I don't think, I think that like getting, if you don't have the inclination to paint and you don't have the time, there's a million reasons, like getting your stuff painted, paying to have someone paint your stuff, is the most honorable thing that you can do.
Totally.
And it is your obligation to do that rather than show up with gray plastic for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, but it is turning it more towards a consumptive hobby. Unless there was someone who's like, I fucking am not, I'm just not going to paint,
mm-hmm.
but I will spend hours converting or
sure, yeah.
even just right. posing guys in a cool way. But if you just like buying SnapFit fucking starter box
man, some of these like commission painting joints, like there's a tier where you can just pay to have them build it for you too. You just send them a bunch of money, they'll buy the boxes.
Yeah, that sucks.
And they just send you like a fully finished thing. You've never, and it's like that's not what the hobby is, man. And that's like,
yeah,
more so than the like, and I can't tell if this is like a symptom or if this is like the cause or whatever, but it's like people talk about like, are you playing like a fluff or like, is it a casual game? Is it competitive, meta chasing, yeah. like win at all costs type players? And like, these are all subset instances of at your core, are you a creative or a consumptive hobbyist?
Yeah, totally.
Right. And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cause if you're, yes, or it is leaning into the more consumptive sides of the hobby,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, there's some kind of analogy here to, I'm trying to think of something like fishing, where it's not creative per mm-hmm. se, although there, you know, then you can get really meta and talk about like your ability to learn and technique and whatever. But you know what I'm saying?
Sports is a gray area to this theory that I haven't really figured out yet.
But
I think fishing
is an interesting one because fishing requires equipment.
Sure. And so does sports.
No, but I think like you're like okay. Well, shoes. The difference. Okay, let me finish.
Like, let me finish here. Like a fucking helmet.
Oh,
like,
dude, shut the fuck. Let me finish here. Let me get in, and then you can start being an asshole.
Okay.
So
okay.
like. You're say like your dad, like some hypothetical dad is mm-hmm. like, I'm going to take you and your buddy fishing. And you're like, okay, we've actually always wanted to try mm-hmm. fishing. It'll be good to blah, blah, blah. And then like I show up and I spend like $1,500 on like pro fishing shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never fished before.
You got the depth radar.
Exactly.
We're fishing off a dock, but you still have a depth radar.
Like you're kind of a clown. Like you're, yeah. you know what I mean? And it's like, because you're not, like, that's not what fishing is really about. Like,
totally.
Fishing is about larger things than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's true of like, if your you've turned it into a consumptive
thing. Yeah. Well, and it's like, I don't know, like fishing has degrees of like, there's dudes who like build their own like fly lures and shit, right?
Totally.
And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, that is like
the craft of it. Yeah.
The like craftsmanship versus like buying a rod versus like everything. And it's like, I think it's yeah.
Like if you were, okay, so maybe that's better. It's like fly fishing and there was a bunch mm-hmm. of guys and like, we make our own fly fishing stuff. And
yeah.
you're like, okay, cool. I want to join. And then you come with like pre-made shit.
Mm-hmm.
You've now, like, you're still fly fishing.
Yeah, and you can do it together. But you have a fundamental different understanding. And like,
yes.
And I think maybe it's like goal-oriented as well. Is like, some people might just be like, I only want to play game, like, I only want to play D&D to do combat simulation and like beat face.
Yeah.
And I only want to play Warhammer to like build the best list. And I think we can kind of also give in a little caveat that like list building or like magic, like deck building.
List building and deck building are the exact same thing.
Or yeah. in like D&D, like figuring out fucking spell combos and shit is like, there is an element of
it's not creativity. It's customization and mm-hmm. strategic thinking.
Yeah. Like, it's more, I don't know.
You can think like, oh, that's really neat, but yeah. like you didn't, like, hypothetically, there's something that couldn't have, but I don't even think that's true because it's just, I was going to say, hypothetically, there's something there that didn't exist before, but I don't think that's true because if you asked an AI to make every possible combination of these variables, it would come out with that. In the same way that, like, if you diffuse that over millions of people playing a game, someone's going to have the same deck as you.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have the same army list as you or the same, like, D&D character sheet. But no one will have the same... Even if you and I tried to paint two identical minis the exact same, they will look different.
We should try and do that better. Sometime. That's a cool idea. We should do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like even if we used the exact same paints,
yeah.
we watered them down to the exact, we pulled from the same pool of paint on a wet palette.
Yeah.
It would look different.
Yeah.
Because they could not be identical.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by like, yeah, I think that's where it's, there's differences, like, yeah,
totally. Yeah, yeah. And it's, yeah, like fishing or like sports in general, like I was thinking about like golf or like hockey or whatever, where it's a thing where it's like there is like a element of like putting in labor and getting better at something, but it doesn't feel the exact, because there's always like an ulterior goal of like to win. It's never for the sake of like doing it in and of itself.
No, I think people, you know, yeah. if you're playing like pickup basketball, like you're probably yeah. just doing it for,
yeah.
But I think the big one that is the case is like watching movies and like, or TV show, and or like the example of like, if someone's hobby is like cigars and whiskey.
Yeah.
Like it's fine to do that.
But it's boring.
But it's not, there is no expression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatsoever.
And it, like, even, I don't know, like video games and stuff to an extent.
I agree with, I think like, video games is also the case.
Yeah. It's like, no matter how many, like, whatever your, like, build in Diablo is, or, like, how many fucking,
yeah,
you know, like.
No, it isn't.
It's
it
just
isn't
not the
creative.
Same. Like, no. Yeah, you're not. Again, I do think there's that, like, tangible, like, I can go on my shelf and be like, look at this fucking record I made.
Yeah,
that I like,
totally,
you know, I can't fucking turn on my TV and be like, look at this character.
Yeah. Look at this character I like.
Yeah.
But people do that with like music, if you're not like doing anything creative ancillarily to that. Like, that's why people make their entire fucking identity a band or
like their record collection.
Their record collection and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a substitute for that.
It's, yeah, and it's like having this like idea is a thing where it's like, I understand why, you know, like I've been called pretentious before, which I don't think there's like pretense about it. It's just like, I like, there are certain things, certain interests that I have, that you have,
yeah,
that we have, that I feel strongly enough about. That I'm just, it's not like, I'm not pretentious, I'm just specific. There's
for me, it's like there are things that I respect and things that I don't respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are things that I don't like that I respect very much. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I can't think of any off the top of my head, but they do exist.
Sure.
They're like there are bands that I don't think are, that I don't like,
mm-hmm.
but I respect them. I think that they're good at what they do. It's right. just like they're not for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There Turnstile. Are movies that I, yeah. there are movies that I don't like that I think are respectable, good movies.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just don't like them and won't watch them.
No.
The same thing with like pastimes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly with pastimes, it's like, to what degree is this, do you spend time on this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's like much more respectable to spend a large chunk of your time regularly doing a creative thing than a consumptive thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think if you take a day, and we've all done this, where you're like fucking hungover or whatever, and you play video games or watch TV for like a huge chunk of the day to where you can't really do anything else
mm-hmm.
the day after that. And you're like, oh, fuck. You feel, if you're a,
it feels
if you're
bad.
A normal person,
yeah.
an adjusted person, you feel shame from yeah. that. But I've gone like 6 hour hobby session, whatever that might be on a creative hobby. And mm-hmm. I don't feel bad about it because like I've accomplished something at the end of it.
Totally. Yeah.
And something that stays and matters. Like if I play a video game for 6 hours and beat it, I'm like, okay, now like tears in the rain. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
No one will remember this.
Yeah.
But my Warhammer army is when I die, someone's going to have to deal with that shit. That's a problem for somebody.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So what, like, you want to talk about, we kind of already touched a little bit on turning a creative hobby purely consumptive in terms of like gray plastic or, like meta chasing, just buying. I always remember that fucking guy at the heavy support, Escalation League, who yeah. was like, I'm going to put all my winnings into demons because they're broken this yeah, edition. Exactly. And it's like, especially at an Escalation League where the whole point is every week you show up with a new painted.
Yeah, totally.
Like, the most, maybe the most like creative version of a tournament, because I think tournaments a lot of the time are like very, like anything that is like rules based is inherently.
Well, yeah, because the Escalation, a tournament is like kind of a showcase. You see everybody's shit at once.
Yeah.
But the Escalation is kind of like, every it's like, and this week we have
yes.
the jump pack guys.
You totally know what I mean?
Like
yeah.
that's cool.
Yeah.
There's like a element of showcasing the progression of practice and craft. Mm-hmm. But anyway, go back to episode one if you want to hear our full breakdown of yeah. the Escalation League asshole.
And then like I think like in like role playing games and like that kind of thing is like, again, like moving your like something that is supposed to be, in theory, supposed to be designed for storytelling, supposed to be designed for like moments and memories and encounters, and turning it into like, well, my build according to the combat rules, and like just like
yeah.
or like buying supplement after supplement. Like 3.5 in D&D was like very, ended up being very consumptive because it was yeah. just whoever owned the most books could do
yeah
like the coolest thing.
I think this is gonna go back to our product folk thing.
Yeah, but it is kind of an extension of product.
I think that's
folk.
Fast becoming the thesis of this entire podcast.
Totally.
which is great.
And but, like, and I think it's why we smart against like one D&D so much, is because it is like a monthly subscription is like exclusively like
Sauron,
consumptive.
It's all consuming. Yeah,
right. So like, yeah, like those instances of taking something creative and corrupting it and turning it evil yeah. and horrible. Remember when we said we weren't going to talk shit? So like, but the flip side of that, so like our buddy with like Magic the Gathering and like taking something that like you and I will see as like pretty consumptive, pretty just like you buy the pieces, you buy the rules, you play the rules, you play the game.
Yeah.
And like making something creative out of that. Like, because you...
Well, I think it's to say, it's a mini version of like tinkering with an RPG.
Yeah.
Like, I think the example of like, the highest example I think of like how something consumptive can be turned creative is like, so do you remember like StarCraft, obviously?
Mm-hmm.
That game had a map editor.
Right, okay.
And when I was a kid, and you could do all kinds of like rudimentary game design stuff with this thing. Like when a unit walks into this, like trigger X, Y to happen in the game.
Mm.
And so it was a very early way to like tinker with game design stuff in this like box, rigid kind of box, but you can kind of do a lot in there if you really wanted to. And eventually, like, do you know how Dota started? You know Dota? League of Legends, like those kind
of
games?
I know of them. I never, like, we didn't get, we had dial-up until 2009. So damn, I missed my whole era of, like, online gaming. That just wasn't in the cards for me.
Yeah, no, totally. But, like, that. So that's a, essentially, it's a genre of game now.
Right.
And that came out of Warcraft 3 map editing scene. Like, a guy made this type of game in the map editor, and then that's now like a multi-million dollar gaming franchise. What I'm saying is that, like, so to take that to like the middle ground of an RPG, where ostensibly, like, if you have one way of looking at something, mm-hmm. I think inherently people are either consumptive or creative,
yeah,
to a degree.
Yeah,
if you have one way of looking at something, you just see, well, this is the box I'm in, and I have to stay in this box. So, like, I play D&D. Maybe I graduate to, like, another type of game.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't cross your mind to break it. Break it down, to find out what works about it, to make something new about it.
Mm-hmm.
To think that you can even do that. And I it's not an intellectual thing. I think people obviously know, yes, you could change the rules of something and design around it and be creative with it, but that wouldn't occur to you
mm-hmm.
in the same way that it does for some people who are like inherently creative. Like, I actually don't think that everyone is creative.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just the case.
Yeah.
I think anyone who thinks that is lying. I think has not paid attention to human beings.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, I think there's like, if you ask someone to draw a picture, they can draw a pic, like, you know, mm-hmm. they can do something, but I think it's an ingrained personality.
Sure.
Trait.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're not, that's fine. There's no judgment. But
like, that's a whole thing that goes back to, like, you need people who are awake in the day to fucking hunt, and you need people who are awake at night to tend the campfire.
Yeah, it's
like,
exactly.
There are differences in personality types, and our current setup is that everybody should function from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, some people are fucked up beyond belief. Because, like,
yeah.
It's just, like, they can't do it.
Yeah,
and that's, like, exactly. Not a moral failing.
Totally.
And it's, like, again, it's the same thing of, like, being creative versus being, like, rigid is, like, you need those.
You need both kinds.
All those people got to turn the wheels.
Exactly, like, yes.
Sure.
100%. And so, like, I get confused, or, like, not confused, but I have to remind myself of that fact, because I get really weirded out at people's consumptive nature in creative hobbies.
Mm.
Like, their inability to see that they can change things, that they don't need to live in a box.
Yeah.
But it's largely because it wouldn't occur to them. And mostly it wouldn't occur to them that they could convince somebody else to partake in that with them.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the real joy of the creative hobby, creativity in general, is not that you're in your crazy little padded wall room mm-hmm. and making your fucking poo paintings, you know what I mean? But it's that you're going to make something and you're going to show someone it, and you get to see them react to it.
Totally.
That's why people who have a creative, to whatever degree of creative spark that they do have, that's, like, why they do it.
Gratification.
Like, yeah.
And it is that thing of, like, you can go on any Reddit or fucking DACA or, like, Bolter and Chainsword or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be people who are, why doesn't GW just change this rule to this? And it's like, motherfucker, why don't you change that rule to this?
Exactly.
Talk to another human being in the real world.
Yeah.
Ask them if they're okay with trying it out.
Yeah. And it's also why, like,
play it, see how it works. Have a feedback loop where you test it and see what works and what doesn't work. And, like, make changes.
Totally.
And, like,
and there are, like, and there are people,
because again, like, that all plays into back to, like, my idea that, like, a very core concept of this is labor, and that you don't get that gratification without putting effort
into
it.
No, you don't get
it.
Anything for free.
And it's, like, that thing where it's, like, yeah, maybe you might have a really great idea for how Synapse should work in 10th edition that is different from how Synapse works right now. But, like, rather than just, like, putting it on the internet and getting some upvotes, that isn't fucking real.
Yeah.
Go and talk to somebody in your gaming group.
Well, because it's going to require you, even though it's not a creative thing per se, but it's going to require you as the consumptive person who wants something to change, who isn't satisfied with whatever you're consuming. It's going to require you to go play test something and potentially have a bad experience with it.
Exactly.
And then give your feedback on it.
And that's the labor.
That's the labor.
And that's at the end of that labor, and you're going to tweak it and you're going to find something that you like.
And you have to be open to doing that. And if you're a creative person, you have to be open to learning how to get people on board with your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes there are people who are creative who are like, I just do this for myself. Like, it has no, like, blah, 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 which is complete horse shit. Because if that were the case with creativity, humans wouldn't be creative because it would have gotten bred out of us. Like,
yeah.
You are driven to make stuff so that it could be useful for other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's evolutionarily, like, propagates itself through human offspring.
Sure. Yeah.
So, like, you have to be able to, like, if you're the type of person that likes to tinker with stuff, you have to be able to get other people stoked on it and on board with your idea. Like, and they don't have to be necessarily creative themselves. Like, they can be just enthusiastic.
You need consumptive people to consume your creation, right?
Like,
yeah, totally. It takes all sorts.
It takes all sorts.
But I don't know. I do think that's a thing where it's like, I more than anything, I want to urge people to, like, the next time that you have a thought about, like, why isn't 5th edition like this? Or why isn't 10th edition 40K like this? Is like, talk to somebody and try and make it like that. And just see what happens. Just see if you have a fun time making it like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like the thing of, like, if that doesn't sound like it's going to work because you can't get, you don't think anyone will want to do it with you, you might be, A, not being able to convince, like, to sell that idea to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, you might be hanging out with too much of the consumptive side of whatever given thing that you're in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that there were people before Commander became, like, the main Magic format who were like, that sounds dumb. We're not playing. Like, we just want to play 60 card.
Sure.
1v1s.
With all the same card. Like,
yeah, exactly. And it was, like, pre-made decks that we got off the internet and shit. And, like, they were wrong because, like, Commander is the most popular way of playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think that it's totally possible that something like Commander could happen for 40K.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, like, there's kind of, like, twinkles of that with, like, Highlander back in the day and stuff.
But Highlander. Like, I also think about, like, the like, fan-generated Heresy Orc rules that I got to play around with at the last Hogtowner.
Yeah.
Is, like, people are doing that. It's not as widespread as Commander, like, fucking obviously, but
I think that it's possible that 40K at some point could see. It's a little bit different because Games Workshop is a bit more stake in how people should play the game. Like, they try, like, just out of their own, like, business strategy, they want things to go a certain way. But I think it's entirely possible that, like, a club could release a set of fun rules that augment the game in some significant but easy to understand way that changes the game hugely.
Yep.
That just takes off.
Well, like, how do you feel about like, because all of the, like, mission rules for, like, secondary objectives and, like, that kind of stuff is like, wasn't that all pioneered out of, like, the LVO?
Yeah, you just, it's right.
Like, which
that's
is
totally
just, which
that was,
is
that's what I'm
is
talking
kind
about.
Of what you're talking
yeah,
about,
exactly.
Right? And that, like, kind of just became what
standard
40K
for a while. Yeah,
like,
and I think it could be even more significant than that. Like, having played 10th finally, which was fucking great, by the way. I fucking loved it.
Hell yeah.
I could see a club being like, we released 50 mission cards and you draw one extra on turn whatever, and they're wild and they're, like, super fun and tight and, like, blah blah blah. There's no reason that couldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that would take a club to be in the right headspace and not just be like, we're just a group of people who play this game and consume it.
Yeah.
We are like enthusiasts of this hobby first.
Yes.
That's the thing that's different.
Totally.
And I think it's tough. But this also gets into, like, the interpersonal dynamics of a group of people that clubs.
This is a philosophy podcast now.
Yeah. No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's endlessly fascinating to me. like, this could be a whole another story about like clubs, a whole another episode about like clubs and stuff, about how, because we talk off pod about gatekeeping and the concept of gatekeeping and how
some gates need to be kept.
That's the whole point of a gate, is that it's sometimes closed.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Your front door. Like, I love having my friends over and people who I trust in my house.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody comes into my house.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all. That's a conversation for another day as well.
Yeah.
But this idea of like, if you want something to happen, you have to have people aligned to a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
And you want as many people in who are aligned to that goal.
Exactly. Yeah.
As you can possibly get.
Yeah.
But you don't want everybody in, because most people, there's 7 fucking billion humans, and
a lot of them will. And it's like, I think at the end of the day, that goal can take different forms, but like a big root of that goal should be creative fulfillment through participation in the hobby.
Yeah.
Whatever your hobby is, whatever like fucking thing you're doing, is like a big part of your goal should be that like everybody is having a good time making something together, as opposed to like who can be the best at make believe. Like, yeah, you know, it's,
yeah, you're like, yeah, like if what the, like for an RPG group, like for our RPG group, like we don't need, if we were to bring someone new in, we wouldn't need that person to have full investment in creatively developing our game.
Mm-hmm.
But we would need them to have full investment in a creative vision.
Yep. That
they would have to stay in the bounds of. And the ability to do the labor of interacting with the things that we creatively output.
Yep.
And if you weren't able to be okay with those two things, the fact that you couldn't make whatever character that you wanted, you couldn't have a blunderbuss or whatever the fuck, then you're not welcome.
Yeah.
In the game.
And it's like, you can, like,
you're not welcome to partake in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's just what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do also kind of want to talk about like the creative, the furthest, I think, iteration of like creative hobby. And I think this is a good like sort of like area to like close on, is like the creation in itself of a game. So like we've been talking for a very long time. It's been documented that we've been talking about this game.
Yeah.
Matt Mercer, the game formerly known as Daggerheart, of like this RPG that we've been developing. And like this summer has been like a lot of like rules tinkering and like bringing in new mechanics. And we finally started like playtesting this outside of our like core playgroup that we usually play with. And we've started like kind of bringing in people, like, again, along those guidelines of like, if you're willing to put in the labor of like playing this thing and like playing within the parameters of it, but also understanding that this is like not even a beta test.
Exactly. This might not work.
Yeah. And but like just the sort of like the creative endeavor of like building a game, not necessarily from the ground up, because it's kind of like,
no RPG is built from the ground up.
Yeah.
In 2023. Yeah.
As strength, Dex, Con, like, yeah, they're there. They're there. Yeah, they're all there.
Exactly. All your faves.
All your faves.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I kind of, because this was a thing that you sort of kickstarted that like I have gotten very like involved and on board with, and like our friends have gotten very on board with. But like, where does, because I think that's a big thing that you touched on a little bit earlier, of like, you got to tinker, and some people will jump from game to game.
I cannot help
find...
it. I have to tinker in every, especially RPGs, but anything, even like I have documents of Stargrave rules that I've written that no one has seen.
Right.
And like, just like the next project I want to, the next game I'm in, I'd start tinkering with it. I have the campaign system for 40K. I wrote another one for Warmaster. I only know one other close friend who plays Warmaster. I have a whole ass campaign system for that. You know what I mean? Like, I just like compulsively have to like rules write in homebrew shit. Sorry, I don't know where you're, I forgot your question again.
I think it's just like, where does it like kick off, and like what do you get out of it?
I just like, I love the, I don't know. it's because like I'll just get like so inspired by like the potential of like what I think could be represented by a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like what could be, I think like we've kicked off our 40K campaign.
Yep.
And seeing it click, seeing the idea that I had in my head of like what a 40K campaign could be,
mm-hmm.
with the right scaffolding and the right buy-in, seeing that kind of click with all of you when we were going through the first turn,
yeah,
was like, that is extremely satisfying. Of mm-hmm. like, it no longer just exists in my head.
Right.
It's like essentially this like world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just get so teed off by certain things, and when I'm reading rules or playing a game, of like, oh, this could be expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, there's this other thing in this other game that I heard about, like that I read years ago, and that would be perfect if I pulled it into here. It adds a new dimension of play.
Yeah, it's like, it's interesting. I think the keys on like the game design aspect of like creative hobbying are like it's like figuring out that any game mechanic. It's almost the opposite of how I approach like model hobbying.
You know what it is? Sorry, I just had a...
Sure, yeah.
So it's, you know, so I'm really attracted to like, I care way more about the like flavor or fantasy of mm-hmm. a game.
Yeah.
Like I'm always more bought in on like the flavor of a game than I am about like if someone was like, oh this game's really fun, you can do X, Y, Z. I'm like, that sounds really fun.
Doesn't matter.
If the vibe isn't right, I don't give a fuck.
Vibe. I was going to say vibe, and that it's like your whole thing of like, as a game master, as somebody who's running a game, you're a DJ and you set the vibe and you let everybody else do what they want
to
do.
And then I get really into mechanics because I see new angles of how to more broadly and deeply express that flavor.
And so this
and
is like,
creates like a feedback loop.
This is exactly what I was just about to hit on, is that it's like when I'm playing Warhammer, when I'm playing like D&D, as a player, as a participant, as a consumer, I'm all about rule of cool.
Right.
Like if it's cool, it goes, whatever. But it's interesting with us like trying to build the game formerly known as Daggerheart.
Yeah.
Where it's like understanding that like game mechanics under like thinking like, wouldn't this be a cool mechanic to have, is a bad way to design a game.
Totally. Yeah.
And understanding that like when you're designing a game, like every mechanic has to have a purpose, and you almost have to work backwards from like, I want to introduce a mechanic because I feel like X aspect of the vibe isn't being lacking. Properly expressed.
Exactly.
So what kind of mechanic can I put in order to express this?
Yes. To have people feel that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a really cool, kind of interesting way of doing it. And like, so this is like, I spent an entire afternoon rewriting all of the feats.
Yeah.
And then we were like, what is the goal of the feats? What do the feats express within? And because it's kind of
what are we trying to express in general? And are the feats doing that or hindering that?
Yeah.
And then we came to the conclusion
that they were hindering it. And it was like, well, that's like a whole bunch of labor that I just wasted. But it's like in so doing, like rewriting it, getting a better understanding.
Yeah.
I don't think if you had not taken the time to do that,
I'm not sure if we would have arrived at that. At that conclusion as quickly as we did.
Totally.
Because I think we would have slotted in a bunch of feats from another game as like placeholders, which mm-hmm. we were doing already.
Yeah.
And then we would have played a lot with them and been like, why is this not working?
Yeah.
But instead, because you took the time to rewrite and like edit
mm-hmm.
All of these feats from a bunch of different games and your own imagination, that gave it enough of a spotlight to where we actually thought it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, feats have existed since like, you know, the 90s in almost every game. So we were like, well, we have to put it in ours.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a thing where it's like, oh, this doesn't actually do anything for the vibe that we're trying to elicit.
Exactly.
So let's take it out.
Yeah.
And that's like, I don't know, like, again, like going back to homebrewing or like talking about like, if you don't like something in 40K, rather than just thinking of it in terms of why, like, oh, I don't like this because it doesn't make me win as good.
Yeah.
You know, is like, figure out what about 10th edition Synapse. I keep going back to this. I'm fine with 10th edition Synapse. A lot of people are saying it's the best.
A lot of people are saying it.
But it's like, think about like, what do I want Synapse to make people feel? Or like, what do I want that to represent in the game from a narrative perspective? how can I come up with a mechanic that achieves the feeling that I'm trying to get, work backwards from the goal, and then like test that out in a game that you're playing. And that like for any game that you play, anything, like I think it's like important, try this out just as a mental exercise. And
because it is strange how that idea has become, especially for 40K, like has just become so alien to people that like, no, but this is the game. Like I'm playing it at a store. There's like rules and there's a rule book and stuff. And it's like, you read the old White Dwarfs in the 90s and they're like, yeah, we changed the rule for this because we thought it would be cool.
Yeah.
And these are the people who like work at Games Workshop. Yeah. It's like the main goal is the cool mission. Or, like we gave the orcs 3,000 extra points.
Yeah.
Because we thought it was sick.
White Dwarf in the 90s is like, we wanted the orcs to feel unstoppable. So we gave them an extra 500 points. And every time a unit died, it came back at the edge of the board.
Exactly.
And it's like, cool. Okay. They understood exactly like what
the vibe was, the goal.
What about the vibe? Do we want this? They had a goal and they figured out a very simple mechanic to achieve that goal to contribute to the vibe of the game
they
were trying to play.
Creative with the game that they make. As a job, which is creative. Like, you can do whatever the fuck you want, man.
Yeah. Go and, like, try it. It's incredibly liberating. It's incredibly fulfilling. And even in instances where you spend an entire afternoon writing feats and then all of it gets scrapped, you still kind of feel good about it.
Yeah, totally.
Because
you've come with an outcome. Mm-hmm. The fact that the outcome wasn't what you envisioned is often how everything that you put work into works.
Yeah. Like, it's about the journey. Read Tolkien for once.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I don't know.
It? We good?
Yeah. Creative hobbies rock. Consumptive hobbies are fine and necessary, but they're not as good.
Yeah.
And totally. It's
like, you need at least one creative hobby that you really enjoy doing in your life.
Everybody should do that. My fiance and I is like, I paint Warhammer while she embroiders and we're watching TV and I'm like, we're getting the same thing out of this.
Sketching,
this
like
is
any,
like
anything that
it doesn't have
gardening,
to be
gardening, like there's a million
doesn't have to be related to bolters.
I think for your own fucking sanity, like whatever, to whatever degree that is creative, because again, not everyone is creative, but something, cooking counts, like something that you do that like, oh, like whatever the output is could only come from you.
Yeah.
To whatever degree that is.
Take raw materials and turn them into something else. It's 100%. Really great.
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
Yeah.
Otherwise I don't think your brain would just go nuts.
Like,
I don't
think, like, you just turn into a boring person. You go to a party and you have nothing to talk about, but fucking Barbenheimer. Like, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, that's not a real, you're not a fucking human being if that's the case.
You know what's cool too? I like when you find out that someone really likes consuming something kind of niche that they don't talk about all the time because they have a whole other life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh man, I love Grape Crush so much. Like, you know what I mean? Something weird like that. Or like, just like a kind of a little silly thing. And you're like, everyone's got to have their
thing
that they just love so much that they have no explanation or real, because it's one aspect of their entire life. Or like, if someone was like, my guilty pleasure is I actually fucking love Marvel movies, I'd be like, that's lame, but whatever.
Cool. Great.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yep.
That's it.
Hobby progress, hobby goals?
I am one, I would say 1/5, maybe 2/5 through my Terminator squad.
Nice.
Painted. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
They're dry brushed. I'm working on the metal.
You had a whole saga with that Terminator squad.
Yeah. The fuck, there was a void in the print and it was weeping resin. And then I had to drill a hole and put it in the sun and scrub it with alcohol. It was fucking shit. It sucks.
The joys of 3D printed models, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So that's new.
Turns out it was too good to be true.
It was too, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, that's my goal. Finish that squad. And then I got like a fuck ton of other Marines to do. But it's chugging along.
Yeah.
They're going.
Hell yeah.
How about you?
I bought the 2.5 of Leviathan.
Yeah, dude.
I have created 4 models from it.
On account of Diablo and then Summer.
Yeah. Diablo, Summertime. It's hard to hobby in the summer, man.
It's extremely hard.
I have a really hard time doing it. I'm a winter hobbyist.
Yeah.
I have I'm trying to think. I got the Trigon built. I got the cool base with the guardsmen falling into the hole and the Rippers sick. Coming out.
Yeah, good job.
Like working on painting that. I gotta like crush. Like it's like I built all the big stuff from Leviathan as well as the Trigon that I had kicking around first. So it's like I just want to get those painted. I have this like incredibly stupid 1,000-point Tyranid army list that's like the smallest model is a Broodlord. Everything yeah. is bigger than that. Sick. I have no battle line troops. Okay. Like so I just want to get everything painted so I can like play games with that. I'm trying to think. I bought a Magic deck.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
Has been very good.
Did very well.
I'm pretty stoked on it. It's
crushed
cool.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I did the like playtest for the game formerly known as Daggerheart.
That's right.
Which was like very yeah. tight. I've been hobbying. Been I just hobbying. Haven't been yeah, like yeah. hard like inside painting hobbying.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, fucking August, the Virgin August versus the Chad July. Like this weather yeah. is not great.
I mean, July was rainy as fuck. This was like the shittiest July I've ever.
Yeah, I guess so.
July'd.
But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also, we played Delta Green at the cottage.
Yeah, that game fucking rocks, dude.
That was very cool.
Shout out, Paul.
Yeah.
Great job DMing.
Running the Delta Green. That's a good game. That's a good ass. If you're like into RPG shit and yeah. you want to like branch out and try something new, like
it's kind of like X-Files-y slash whatever you want it to be, kind
of yeah cryptid monster of the week like shit,
fucking FBI agent shit. It's cool as hell,
very fun. So yeah, I guess hobby goal, like I want to finish the big like the Screamer Killer, the Trigon, the Psychophage, the Neurotyrant,
the whole box except for the little guys.
I mean, no, it's a big box, dude. Yeah. Because that doesn't have the fucking Neurogaunts, the Barbgaunts, the Termagaunts, and there's like fucking like.
Yeah, it's like 45 models.
Yeah, and then the Von Ryan's Leapers and the Wing Tuned Prime and the like. I gotta fucking. And they're about to release this new book and probably a bunch of shit.
Oh yeah,
with
is,
that.
Is that the first Codex is coming out?
I think September. Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, which is like, Norn Emissary. Kind of looks dumb, but the
is it the one with the cape?
No, that's the new Death Leaper has the cape. I do.
So bad.
I want to get that model, but just like carve the cape off. The new Lictors look really good. The new Biovores look fucking cool as hell.
They are fucking cool. Yeah, yeah.
Probably very tight. Starship Troopers as hell.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's great.
But you know,
word.
Always more to consume.
Yeah.
Hell yeah!
All right.
Yeah, we're at Cocked Pod.
At Cockpot.
I'm at Bugs. I Hate Bugs.
At Dorn to Raise Hell.
Leave us a review.
5 stars.
We'll see you in 2 months.
Yeah. Take it easy.